This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? You are tuned in to a brand new episode of A Sweet Life with your boy Patrick Mahomie. And I know that's your boy, man. I was watching the Super Bowl and I was only thinking about, like, I know he's somewhere talking big-ish right now. But anyway, A Sweet Life. Malik Rashid, Chief Johnson.
Chief Johnson.
2024. You know what it
is, man.
Baby.
24.
Anyway,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
How you been?
Yes,
what's
sir.
Good? Been a minute.
Fuck. Yeah, man. You know, finishing up what I hope to be a very culture transformative body of work with an amazing young generational talent by the name of Kevin Smiley.
Big Kev.
This kid is super special. Such a blessing to be taking part in his journey. So I'm super excited about that. We're gonna talk more about that as we get closer to real release dates, which are literally around the corner.
Oh.
But super happy about that.
Y'all just waiting for my ad-libs, you know, right?
Yeah. Right. I'm going to need you to go ahead and send the vocals, you know what I'm saying,
and
everything so we can get
to. Don't try to exclude me, Kev.
Get your publisher straight. Get your pub straight.
That's the new A&R, you know, right? Yeah. I need to just come in and say a couple words, and then I need that executive producer spot.
That's all. So that's you, right? Yo, man, speaking of dope music, too, right now, just wanted to, like, I remember last year we there was a point we're touching on music and we're talking about Killer Mike's album, and obviously since then he cleaned up at the Grammys, won all the swept, right? Best rap album of the year. Just swept all the categories. Unfortunately, the Grammys chose not to televise any of the hip hop. Any of the rap awards, didn't televise one moment. Obviously, you saw Jay-Z's speech. I think we should be over that shit. I think that, you know, the leadership, if there is any leadership somewhere, they need to sit down with Harvey Mason and chop it with him and like, because they got to figure the shit out. And I don't know if it's Harvey or if it's the guy that produces the show. I know for years it was this guy, Ken Ehrlich. I don't know who's producing the show right now, but that shit can't happen anymore. It's just straight disrespectful.
I don't even watch it.
It's beyond disrespectful. It's laughable. And the fact that they will have somebody like a Jay-Z, Beyonce, SZA, whoever, kind of like sit in their seats, you know what I'm saying, to hold the attention of the fans and then just give them these sparse little moments. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's super backwards and everything. And it's like, it's way beyond time for the necessary, the people with real voices to speak up and not only speak up, fuck it. Like, man, we got to start back celebrating us. I remember growing up, like for me, like the Soul Train Awards was the shit too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? BET Awards means something that like celebrates you. Like if they're not going to celebrate you, they're just tolerating. Like go celebrate yourself. Like stop trying to always, like it don't mean anything unless they validate us. What the fuck is that about?
Well, I mean, all these artists say that every year, but then when the Grammys happens, they complain about not winning a Grammy. So it's like, you got to either be fully radical, like we ain't supporting this at all, and we don't care, or you got to, you know, like it's every year, nothing's changed, and the Grammy every year adds a new board of like people from the culture that are supposed to, you know, help implement change, and nothing ever changes. Like, I don't even know the last year I watched like a full Grammys, because it is that, like, I'm, you know, you don't understand, like, are you celebrating artistry, or are you celebrating popularity, are you celebrating record sales? Like, the Grammys hasn't really defined that, and that's why every year, just when it comes to art categories, when it comes to R&B and rap and hip-hop or whatever, it creates such a division within our culture. If your favorite artist doesn't win, because they're like, then it relates back to sales. Like, how did that person win if they only sold this amount? And then it's like, how did they win? I haven't heard of them. And it's like, who are you to have heard? Because your palate doesn't expand past whatever's in your vision or whatever you really love to listen to. And
yeah.
And I think because the artistry that is taught to kids, the artistry of music has lapsed. You know, if there's, for me, like if I hear somebody won, like I think last year, Robert Glasper won over Chris Brown.
Yeah.
And that caused a whole thing. And even Chris Brown's like, yo, who is this dude? Instead of like going to listen to him and being like, let me see like what the hype is all about. And then speaking about it, it becomes like with social media, everybody's so quick to like bash people. I've seen it like when Killer Mike won that, nobody bothered to be like, yo, this guy, maybe he won for a reason. Let me go listen to his album. Instead, it's like, I never heard of him. That's whack. Like, how come Travis didn't win? You know, Travis' album was good. Killer Mike's album, like you said, we talked about it when it came out. And at the time, we both were like, yo, this album front to back is extremely dope. And we also implore people, like, go and expand what you're listening to. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give something a chance. Like, if everybody's like, yo, this is the next dope person, I'll at least go listen to it. So then I can formulate my opinion. Like, you know what? It's not really for me, but at least I'm doing that based in some context. And we don't do that no more. We're not a context-based, like, culture anymore. There's no level of curiosity or discovery. It's, you know, shit on people first and then, you know, or go with the masses. If they don't like it, then you don't like it, you know. And I think it's just a lack of education, and it's a lack of, like, music is just in a weird place. It's, you know... And I don't know how you get it back to where it is, because it starts with the artistry. And if the artistry is declined, then the consumer is not getting the full enriched product, I feel like, you know?
I think it's the art is definitely on a downward slope, if we're being honest. But also what's happening, it's like the perfect storm is the way that the music is being just marginalized, right? And when I say that, I was just having a conversation prior to this where someone was like, oh, I gotta go get my artists on some streamer's platform because he needs that now, and you know what I mean? look, media is changing. I get that. We're part of the changing media. But, like, you're telling me that someone who doesn't have any sort of, I don't know, background in music or whatever, like, you got to go on their show and kind of do this dance and be asked pretty weird questions to, like, to expand, you know, to the masses right now. Like, that's what we have to do. It's like, those things are hurting it. Or it's like, oh, I need this to go with a TikTok dance. Or, you know, you need to go again. Like, there's no sort of mystery or mystique anymore. People are way too accessible. And that's the other thing. Like, you can't create, like, a lift when everybody knows everything you do, because you got to put content out there. You got to put content. It's like, yo, at some point, like, we got to get back to, like, creating moments, real moments. You know what I'm saying? And there's no seminal moments that we could go on. That seems like to be, you know, that leads into another thing. Same thing with sports right now, right? Like, just the overall, it's like the erosion of things. Like, the NBA All-Star, these motherfuckers, like, 211 to 186? What is that?
Yeah.
Who wants to watch that?
Yeah. I mean, even people that are, like, of the, you know, chuck up the three, shoot 93-pointers a game era, were like, this is pretty bad. To the point now where even the NBA is like, we need to examine, like, you know,
maybe scrapping this.
And to me, it's like Adam Silver, like, the era that he's ushered in, it has became, and a lot of it is, like, rules, and then also a lot of it is officiating. But again, like, if you watch the games during the season, it's pretty much many versions of the All-Star game. Everybody is scoring over 120 points. And yes, the players, the three-point shot is more prevalent. But I seen the game last night, old boy from the Bulls. He had a wide-open layup. And they even showed this high.
I saw that.
Kicked it out for a three-pointer and dude missed the shot. And even the commentators were like, all right, this is a little ridiculous. And so
it was like at the rim. He was literally at the rim and kicked it out. I think
they were trying to keep pace with, like, the NFL, right? When the NFL became a pass-first league. And as many points, but the NFL still loves defense. So you can get just as much excitement out of a 17-9 game.
Yeah,
17-6, 17-9, as you would as a 40-point game. Obviously, you know, like, if the Bills and, you know, another high-powered offense are playing and the defense kind of lacks, that's exciting too. But they play with heart. Like, the defense isn't not out there trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with the NBA, it just seems like, yo, I watch these games. I don't even really enjoy watching the NBA no more, because combined, these teams are shooting like 120 three-pointers a game.
Yo, I'm a diehard sports fan. I love hoops. I love the NFL, boxing, all these things. I love sports, tennis, whatever. I have not, year after year, it seems I get further away. I used to be like, from the beginning of the season to the end, I was excited when the season started. Now it's like, okay, I'm going to start getting into it after All-Star game. I'm going to start to kind of, like, you know, kind of diving into it. So when the playoffs come, I know who and what, but it's just like, the product is terrible right now. And it's also just, and they can't say otherwise, the product is terrible. What we're seeing on, like, are the players skilled? Like, because that's also their argument. These players are as skilled as, you know, back then you didn't have, I get it. These kids are skilled, but we also got a lot of just athletes. We got a lot of athletes, and we got a lot of people shooting the basketball when they shouldn't and not making the easy play. Like, yo, homie, Karl Towns, get down on the post. I get that you can shoot a three. That's great. But can you get your ass down on the post and, like, shoot 70%? Because you can either get a dunk or get fouled, or, like, it's, or kick the ball out of the post and create for your, for, it's just, I don't know. It's a terrible product,
is the game,
in my opinion.
Is the game beyond fixing? Or how do you,
I think it is right now, because first of all, there's no, like, Kobe, Mike, Magic, Isaiah, like, all of these guys, even Bron, are guys that are, like, monitoring, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of monitoring, like, yo, we getting out, you know what I mean? We getting out of control. Like, I don't see that. LeBron's in his 20th season.
21st.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the transition is being made. I don't see it. And even, like, when they were talking to Anthony Edwards about the All-Star game, he was like, it's an All-Star game. I don't really expect much. And it's like, yo. So I think at the NBA, not only does the culture have to change, yeah, that's the only way you can fix it, is the culture has to change. I think one thing that they should do, if you want a competitive All-Star game, it's not even a monetary prize. No, it's not even a monetary prize. You know what you should say? What they do for Major League Baseball. Whoever wins the All-Star game, that conference gets home
field
advantage.
Well, they did that one year.
For the World Series.
Yes.
No, not for the NBA.
Oh, they didn't.
They haven't. No.
Oh, okay.
And that's what they need to do. Y'all, whoever wins the All-Star, regardless of record.
Incentivize, but not money.
Yeah. No, yeah. No. Because it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. If the Lakers or somebody has the best record and the other team doesn't, but because of the All-Star, they got home court advantage. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do something. Like, and also, even on the dunk contest, I would be like,
cancel
yo.
Cancel that whole
if
thing.
If we're not going to get, you know, Aaron Gordon and what's Hall Boy's name when they had the one? That was the last banging dunk contest.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon and homie that went to UCLA, like, plays for the Bulls. Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
If we can't get that, I don't even want to see it.
I don't want to see it. Only thing that was worth watching was the skills challenge and the three-point contest. The rest of it is just goofy time. And even now, the players don't even seem like they want to be there. They'd rather be resting. So it's like, you either change the format.
Do you have it at the conclusion at the season?
Or let the bench guys play. Like, hey, figure out, like, something where – this six, seven, eighth man on the teams are playing, because then it's competitive, right? Or, like you said, you incentivize with the home court advantage or something. Because the way it is now, it's just continuing to decline. Like, and I don't want to watch it no more. After the first quarter, I turned it off. I don't want to see it. So I don't know what Adam Silver is going to do. Yes, he's made the league more money. But the league is so, like, watered down when it comes to just, like, and this is why they'll never catch up to the NFL, you know, as far as, like, viewership and competitiveness, because the mentality over there is just, like, it is not what it used to be, and it's not enjoyable. There's only a few teams. Now, there's players I enjoy watching because –
But there's only a few teams
but, yeah.
I like watching.
And those teams that I like watching, like, everybody thinks are boring. Like the Nuggets, everybody thinks the Nuggets are boring.
They play
great basketball.
They play the game
Boston
right.
plays
yeah.
the ball.
I like watching Denver, yeah. Boston. You know what I'm saying?
I even like watching Orlando. Like, you know, they're a young team, and they get after it, you know?
They're getting after it.
It's about team chemistry, and I feel like that's lost now. The league is who's the 1-2 punch, and how many times can you get these guys the ball, and how many 3 points can we chuck up? And this is why the Nuggets, I still think, are the front runner this year, because not only the chemistry, but when you talk about it getting in a 5-7 game series, when you have a center who can control the rock, it's going to be tough for you to beat them. And this is why when the Lakers get kind of, if they can get pretty deep, AD, you know, they may not be playing great now, but so yeah, man, that's I just think the NBA is in just such a weird place, man, and it sucks. It sucks to see because that's my first love and my favorite love, and you know, I don't know how you rebound from it, but you know.
I'm right now. I'm NFL and boxing. I the NBA is like whatever to me right now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Oh, speaking of NFL, did you see that list that came out about like the report cards they give at the end of the year?
How is this? How are the Super Bowl champions three times in the last 5 years basically a dynasty, including back to back? But y'all got the worst score.
It's Washington, but then Kansas City's 31. So Kansas City 31, okay, so Washington 32.
Okay.
And it's even 29, right? The Patriots are at 29. And you're talking about Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, billionaire. You know, these are billionaire owners who don't treat their players correctly or their facilities correctly, but you know, it's just such a testament to show, like, these guys are slumlord owners. Just straight, I don't know what else to say. Like, you know, I was reading some of these reports, and the players were saying, like, they don't even have proper seats. They're sitting on stools. You know, they were promised, you know, new facilities a couple years ago. They haven't got them, you know, and that's just front. It's terrible to hear, but that's where the NFL lacks, right? It's the billionaires' boys' club. We don't care how you treat your players.
They do not the old boy crew.
Yeah,
the old boy network. The new owners are in the NBA, and they're, you know, because they're from tech and all of these. But these other oil baron textile guys, they're like, we'll give 2 cents.
Yeah, because if you look at the top 10. They're all franchises who have not won a Super Bowl in a lot of years. You know, number one's Miami, but they treat their players
best. Yeah, you know,
Minnesota. So, like, there's people in there that have not won titles in forever, but then you're building a culture and you're building a franchise. Even, you know, last week took the fam to go visit the Las Vegas Aces facility, which is owned by Mark Davis. It is state-of-the-art facility. Next to it is the Raiders facility. Now, you're talking about an owner who – there's multiple owners who own football or basketball teams and also WNBA teams who these young ladies are practicing at the YMCA. They're sharing facilities. This is, like, I think, one of the first state-of-the-art, you know, WNBA franchises that has their own facility. And let me tell you, it's beautiful. They have 2 courts, they have training facilities, they have nutritionists, they have doctors, they have everything you could want in their facility, because he knows you can't be the owners of the Raiders and you see these guys walking around in these facilities getting treated like this, and then you have a team and you're not treating them the same way. And he is a trailblazer in that space. And understands the importance of that. Even for me as a father of a young daughter who is now starting to fall in love with sports, for her to be able to see, like, oh, their facility is nice and they're treated well and they're treated with respect and they're playing at a high level, that's exciting for her to see. And that's something that's going to stick with her. You know, so again, it just comes down to, like, the owners of these franchises. It's money first, and they probably feel like, hey, we're paying this guy a lot of money. There's, like, all these type. You got to read the report, because there's crazy things. Like, some of these franchises don't even provide meals for their players. Like, they make them pay for meals, or they don't provide 3 hot meals a day. If they're traveling, they have to – sometimes there'll be 2 of them in a room, and they can buy out their roommate. Like, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild, but, you know, it's a report that came out. It's going to get brushed under the rug because, you know, like you said, these are the old boys. This is daddy's mommy, daddy, grandpa's money.
Yep.
You know, so again, man, like, Speaking,
just so we don't leave it though, you were talking about women's sports, specifically, and the Aces. Juju's
balling. Balling.
I love Caitlin. I get it. Baller. Iowa yep. girl. Baller. Yeah. Juju Watkins is something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
That's a true freshman.
Yeah.
Like, she was in high school last year, not reclassified, none of that bulls.
Like, yeah.
She's out there giving people work.
Yeah.
And now people are actually I bet you more people or as many people showed up at USC women's game as they did the men.
Yeah, if not, maybe more, you know what I mean? And I'd love to see that, man, what Kalen's doing.
I would love to
see
that.
You know, they were having this thing where they were showing, like, the highest ticket prices they've ever had at a game. And, you know, I'm seeing people courtside now at the USC women's games, not even at the USC men's games. And that's so important for the younger generation, man, to be able to have those role models and that look like them, that dress like them, that are, you know, you're talking about if a girl in middle school is starting to fall in love with basketball and she sees Juju
yeah.
play, who's maybe 6 years, 5 years older than her, it's like, wow, you know what I mean?
It's happening in women's volleyball as well. You know, Kylie's playing. Shout out to Mizuno. You know what I'm saying? I love that for her. Like, now being a volleyball dad, a girl's volleyball dad, like, these girls now really have a shot. Like, and by the time that they get into college, you won't have these reports of, you know, they got to eat meals over. Like, see, I remember a couple of years ago, it was so weird during the tournament that some girls showed, like, just how terrible it was to be a woman's, you know, athlete during the March Madness. And, like, so to see that things are changing and changing rapidly and that people are interested, It's good for these girls, man. It's good for them to have another something else. It's good for them to have something else that they can like target and begin to like will in and be like, yo, I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? And it might be coaching, it might be whatever. You know, like, it. There's just so many things, and I'm happy to see
yeah.
it. I'm super happy to see it.
And it's important for
it.
Them
I'm super happy
to see the
it.
Success of the sports like, side of it. So, but we mm-hmm. want to hear more stories about, like, these athletes talking about how well they've been treated and that side of thing. And I think that's where these leagues and places have to get better at. So the story is this: I got a college scholarship. I'm a star player. I play in the WNBA. But also, too, the franchise treats us well. We travel well. We're taken care of. Our needs are taken care of. So I think that's the next story that we need to continue to see improvement in, because that's also too super important. It's like the treatment, just like the NFL guys, like, they should be treated with the utmost respect. Their facilities should mirror the money that they're bringing in for the league and these owners and, you know, the merchandise and all that thing. And those are the success stories. If the players want grass filled and there's 98% of them that say grass is better, then give them grass. You know what I mean?
Who can give them grass.
The same thing with, and that goes with anything. That's music also, too. If the artists feel like they need better development, let's really get back into A&Ring. You know what I mean? Let's really get back into developing. Let's really get back into mentorship. And that's everything across the board, education, finance. The more tools you give people, the better the outcome, the better the stories, and the better the success for everybody. So just in,
better the product.
Better the product. You know what I mean? So
better the product.
Do better.
do fucking better.
Just
please.
Do better.
just do better, please.
Yeah, man.
What's the weekend looking like? What you getting into?
Yeah, man. We getting ready to go on yep. vacation.
We going on where vacation.
Going to Hawaii.
Yeah, I knew it. You I thought about it when you hit me.
Yeah, because when you ain't like, okay. going, like, when you just going somewhere, like, oh, we going to Texas, you just be like, yeah, we're going to Texas next week. But when you going, like,
somewhere like that, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation. So
you're going up because it's real.
Yeah, it's real, you know. So we're going Hawaii next week.
Maui, Hawaii, Honolulu, Honolulu, where?
You know, I'm a city boy, man. I need a little mixture of, like,
you got to have that. Yeah, because
we'll wake up. We'll go to the pool, the beach, do all that stuff. But then later in the day, we like to go walk into the shops and eat, you know.
Yep. And it's right down, Honolulu is like Beverly Hills in Hawaii. Yeah. I mean, in paradise.
That's a perfect description of it. You know what I mean? Like, damn, you'd be
it's
on
Beverly
the beach,
Hills in paradise.
And then I could go walk over to Louis Vuitton or Kith and, you know, have a good coffee and eat good.
Listen, that shit is literally like South Coast Plaza in paradise. It's so nice. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, but if you go to Kauai, and Kauai is like my favorite island, but it shuts down at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So 7 p.m. day's over.
Yes.
And so you don't want that. Especially now where
I still would like to do that sometime though, but I think with a big group, right? Like, and
you got to do that with a big group.
I need ATVs, if it's just you and like, you know what I mean? Like you said, like.
But if it's just you know, y'all a small family, it's like I'm taking my ass to Hollywood.
Yeah, it's like I'm tired of kind of looking at you in the quiet. But yeah, just that, man. And then, you know, just again, like working, staying busy. I know we've been, a little like kind of sparse, a little sparse on filming lately. But, you know, we're picking up
some things going on in the background.
We got some announcements in the next couple weeks. And so that's exciting.
The merch looks good.
Yeah. We'll
tell. Look at you.
You know, we'll.
Yo, do one of them on them. You know what I'm saying? Look, man, listen, please, boy, give my little niece, give Aria a hug. Tell Jenna, I said, what up, the whole family, everybody, enjoy your vacation, bro, because if anybody knows, I know you bust your ass, you work hard to deliver for your family and for yourself. So go over there and fucking just blackout, please. Yeah. Go blackout.
And then likewise, tell the fam what up. And then any, what's some, you know, insider words you can give everybody, you know, as we sign off?
Yo, man, listen, you know what I've been, this is real, as of late, I have, not just as of late, but I am learning to be okay with I'm learning, this is a crazy thing to say, I'm learning to be okay with me. And when I say that, meaning not that I was never not comfortable in my skin, because I am, but really okay with like the process of being you. Like there's the different iterations, and as we get more educated about life, right, in this journey, and we get the information, sometimes we tend to beat up on ourselves as opposed to being like, okay, I learned from that. I got that. Now I'm going to implement this new information. Just show yourself grace. Show yourself grace. Because if you beat up on you, you're going to be so far away from the wind.
Yeah.
You're so far, because the world will do that to you. You don't even need to do that to yourself. That doesn't mean don't check yourself. You feel what I'm saying? That doesn't mean don't check yourself and not be cognizant of how you are showing up to other people. But at the same time, just make sure that as you also create these seminal moments for yourself, these wins, the small wins that add up to the big wins. It's not the big win. It's the small wins that add up to that major win that leads there. It's the, you know, the reputation, repetition of a certain behavior that leads to those things. So as you are developing your discipline, that's going to lead to the win. Make sure you be like, yo, man, I did, you know, started out 2 weeks ago. I've been going to the gym for 2 weeks. Okay, I've been drinking a lot more water. Okay, I've been getting rest. My room is clean. It don't look crazy. That means I'm uncluttered. I'm uncluttering. Like, give yourself, for real, give yourself some grace and everything.
Yeah.
You?
I'm going to just leave like this. Prioritize your mental health. Make sure your cup is filled in the midst of making sure everybody else's cup is filled. And stay in a place of gratitude. And on that note, a sweet life.
We out.
We out.
We out.
All right, y'all.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.